Excuse me. Firstly, just before I start the sermon and before I forget, I would just like to let you know, if you don't already know, about the Barnabas Aid magazine, which is full of a wealth of information. Does anybody here receive this magazine? I would imagine quite a few of you do. Inside the magazine is a prayer guide that can be read daily, and in bold every Sunday is a prayer that churches all around the world read out in their congregations. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to read that this morning and join other churches around the world in praying for the persecuted church. Heavenly Father, we pray for Tunisia, a country in turmoil as its people protest that the Arab Spring, which began in their country 10 years ago, has not brought the good governance they hoped for. We lift to you the small and vulnerable Christian community, remembering especially expatriates from African countries and indigenous Tunisian converts from Islam. As Tunisian Muslims call for more justice and freedom for society in general, we ask that your children also may be given greater rights to follow your son freely, that convert churches will be given legal status, that the individual converts will no longer be stigmatised and rejected. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. If you do not receive this magazine, which is free, and you would like to, please come and see Jared and I at the table, because if you sign up today, we would love to give you a complimentary book, Lifting Up the Downcast, which is Patrick's latest book, complimentary, and it's a really good read, so I'd love to be able to give you one of these today. Today's Bible reading, if you'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 13, sorry. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Today, the Lord has put on my heart how sometimes when we step out into ministry or into serving Christ and living as Christ followers, often we can suffer. So I'd like to say good morning again and thank you for having us today. I would like to speak on suffering and how that looks like when we're living as a follower of Christ. I hope that it will give you some encouragement and hope. Experiencing suffering ourselves has given Jared and I a heart for the persecuted church, and it has made us increasingly aware of the great need to share in their burdens, to pray for them and to raise awareness. Heavenly Father, please be my voice today. Let my words honour you and bring you praise. Amen. So I'd like to start off with, what first drew you to Jesus? Was it because he offered compassion? Had he made you aware that you needed him to rescue you? Jesus does comfort, rescue, and give his people solid hope. He delivers us from sin and pours out kindness on us. But he does not promise lives free of suffering, pain, or hardship. Suffering and pain are a very real part of life. The human body experiences pain as a signal that something is not right. And in a broader sense, human suffering reveals that something is not right with our world. We only need to look around at the world and even our own country that we live in. Christians are being persecuted when they stand up for their beliefs, for what is written in the Bible. And the cancer culture that we live in today's society is forever increasing. We only need to look at Israel Folau and what happened when he stood firm on his beliefs and what it cost him. And what is not right in our world? Sin. Sin shattered God's perfect world and complicated our lives with brokenness and pain. We only need to look at Genesis 3 and Revelation 21. And by nature, suffering is difficult. As humans, we always try to avoid the difficult. And so how do we process a life and a world filled with suffering? What if there are never answers for our hard questions in this life? How many people here this morning have suffered great pain? Coming from a non-believing family myself, no one told me that when I became a Christian and a follower of Christ, it would mean that I would experience great pain and suffering. I myself have personally experienced persecution, miscarriages, death of loved ones, loss of employment, and more. For you, what is it this morning that you're suffering? Is it cancer? A serious illness? Depression? Loss of a child? Miscarriage? Death of a loved spouse? Or perhaps it's loss of employment, persecution, or social ostracism? It can often leave us feeling crushed, overwhelmed, devastated, and torn. These waves of feelings can wash over those who have suffered. The pain and anguish may at times cause us to want to turn back, to surrender, or to just give in. But from the beginning, belonging to Jesus has included suffering. All whom God calls to the challenge and joy of following Jesus can find encouragement in Peter's letters. In reading our Bibles, God's written word, we see that God blesses his people, not simply despite of suffering, but often through suffering. In 1 Peter 6-7, we read, "In this you greatly rejoice, for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, that these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed." Trials help us to learn patience and to grow to be the person God wants us to be. Like gold being heated to be purified, where impurities float to the top and can be skimmed off, steel is also tempered or strengthened by heating in the fire. And so are we. Our trials, struggles, and persecutions refine us. They strengthen us and they make us useful to God. Peter learned from Jesus that God rewards his persecuted people, now and eternally. Suffering gives believers unique opportunities to demonstrate God's grace and power through our lives and words. Peter mentions suffering several times later in his letters. And when Peter speaks of trials, he isn't talking about the natural disasters or the experiences of God's punishments. He's talking about the response of an unbelieving world, like what we as Christians live in today. We need to be reminded that all believers face trials when they let their light shine into the darkness. All Christians suffer. Either you have, you are, or you will. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And this reality is a stark reminder that we have not yet reached the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem of no tears and no pain, of no mourning and no death has not yet arrived, as written in Revelation 21:1-4. But just because we experience suffering as we wait the redemption of our bodies, it does not mean that our suffering is at random or without purpose. And neither does it mean that Scripture doesn't tell us how to think about our suffering now. Here are five important biblical truths about suffering that every Christian should have ready. Firstly, suffering is multifaceted. Suffering has many faces. The Bible does not whitewash our experience of suffering by saying that it's of all one stripe. Rather, it recognises the multifaceted ways that suffering can come upon us. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, from 2 Corinthians 4, 8-9. In these two verses, Paul lists several types of suffering: mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Each of these are different ways that we can suffer, and when suffering comes, often several of these types of suffering are involved. Secondly, suffering happens in community. Christians still suffer as we wait for Jesus' return, but none of our suffering is random or without purpose. The church is not meant to be a loosely bound association of functional lone rangers. Paul confronts that type of thinking when he writes of bearing one another's burdens, so to fulfil the law of Christ, from Galatians 6:2. The church is meant to be a refuge for those suffering. When a member is hurting, the church applies the bandages. When a member is down, the church encourages. When a member is in need, the church comes alongside to help. Thirdly, suffering equips us for ministry. First-hand experience in suffering is essential in equipping us for ministry. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:4 that God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. But how, and what is the link between experiencing suffering and equipping for ministry? Well, David Pawlowson answers it this way. When you've passed through your own fiery trials and found God to be true in what he says, you have real hope to offer. You have first-hand experience of both his sustaining grace and his purposeful design. He has kept you through pain, perhaps reshaped you more into his image. You are experiencing from God, and you can give away in increasing measure to others. You are learning both the tenderness and the clarity necessary to help sanctify another person's deepest distress. That's from his book, Suffering and Sovereignty of God. Fourthly, suffering is a battleground. Wherever there is suffering, there is a battle for your soul. The book of Job shows us that there can be two ways to respond to suffering, one that curses God because of the suffering, and one that praises God even in the midst of suffering. And fifthly, suffering prepares us for more glory. But God says a lot about suffering in Scripture so that you know where to look when the pain comes to you. One of the more counterintuitive truths about suffering is that it prepares Christians for more glory. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18 that this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. These verses are like sandpaper on our modern sentiments about suffering. We naturally try to avoid suffering at all costs. But God brings suffering in our lives for the sake of our eternal joy, yes, even glory. Terrible events in the world or in your life do not change the goodness of God. God will deliver his people from sin and suffering. Our timetable for deliverance is not synchronized with God's. The challenge is that believers must wait for full deliverance, the final defeat of sin, suffering, and death. But in this life, we should expect that our bodies will age. There will be people who fail us, and there will be constant hard work among the thorns. The suffering we experience here makes us long for the deliverance there, where God will bring his eternal plan to glorious completion. When our burdens are more than we can bear, our blessed Saviour provides what we cannot provide in our own strength. We then learn to trust God because we need to trust God, and our God is worth trusting. Are you suffering for what is right? Do not be afraid. Give Christ first place in your life and thank God for the opportunity to share your hope in him. Very often it can appear that God is losing in this world. Many Christians are being persecuted for their faith, and unjust treatment abounds. The ravages of sin continue. People suffer abuse, pain, and violence regularly. But God is always at work beyond what we can see or understand. God is always doing more than meets the eye. God is with you in suffering, and he will use it to tenderize your heart and to draw you to himself. to understand that God loves you enough to allow suffering in your life, even the long and hard kind, brings perspective on the roughest of days. God's ultimate purpose is not the pain, but what it produces. In Romans 5, 3 to 5, it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. God's purposes for your life are never thwarted by suffering or loss. And while not every story ends with a happy ending in this life, the ultimate victory of God remains certain. God wins. Satan and sin have been defeated. One day, God will right every wrong. He will judge every sin and bring unstoppable victory for his people. And while we wait for that day, we worship the God who knows all and works in ways beyond human comprehension. When Peter wrote these letters, the full force of the terrible waves of Roman persecution had not yet swept over the church. Yet the Holy Spirit offered comfort and encouragement to God's hurting people. Sinful people crucified the Lord Jesus himself. But his death has brought the greatest blessings to the world. Jesus' suffering shows God blesses his people even through the evil his enemies plan. In Peter's letters, he gives four basic truths about Jesus to encourage suffering believers. Why Jesus died? Well, we know that he died for our sins to bring us back to God. Why was Jesus raised? To save us by his resurrection life. Why Jesus went to the imprisoned spirits to proclaim his victory. And why Jesus went to heaven to reign and rule over every power. And a pattern emerges. Jesus suffered for us, conquering every enemy his suffering people face. Jesus reigns over sin, death, and Satan. Fully vindicated, Jesus reigns over all. Angels, authorities, and all power submit to him. And Jesus came down from glory to return to glory. He passed through the cross and its suffering. And all who share in his suffering will also too share in his glory. As a follower in Christ, entrust your suffering to him and look forward to the joy promised. In 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19, Peter shares with us that when we suffer, God offers unique opportunities to take part in Christ's sufferings. And when our sin ruled over us, Jesus willingly suffered for us. He alone atoned our sin. But as we suffer and follow in his footsteps, we show that his life empowers us. We rejoice as we grasp that since Christ passed through sufferings to glory, so shall we. Paul's words to Timothy belong to every believer also. If we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. God disciplines his people for our own good to purify us. Suffering also tests us, showing how God has worked in our lives. Suffering brings believers when they can remember that joy, not condemnation, awaits us. Instead, mourn for the ungodly who will face God's judgment unless they repent. Believers can commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Perhaps you have had the honour of suffering injustice simply because you are a Christian. Perhaps you suffer in other ways, but remember that Jesus subjected himself to the pain for us. He knows your pain, he loves you, and he will use it for his glory. He responds with grace as you come to him in prayer, and God will never forsake you. The Spirit of glory will strengthen you to trust, love, and continue to do good. Peter's letter ends with a blessing. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Jesus blessed Peter and the other disciples in a similar way, to the great traditional blessing of Shalom. Jesus added confidently, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God is faithful to his promises. So would we look to him and know his promises? Remind ourselves and others of them daily, that with the renewal of our minds, we will be transformed, his will, not the will of the world. The reality of life is that there is still going to be death, suffering, and trial in and amongst our trials, we need to remind ourselves and others that God is faithful even in this fallen world. He does not promise that there'll be no suffering, but he does promise that one day there'll be no more pain, no grief, no trouble, no family trials, and that he will complete what he began. So how might we foster an ever-increasing love dependence, trust and surrender towards God? That he will be our anchor and our rock when grief is heavy, that when confusion comes and when pain is inflicted on people or when the overwhelming flood of responsibility bears down on us, we remember that God is still God. He is still in control. He is still our ever-present refuge and help. He is our rock. He is our comfort. And he is to be our complete satisfaction. Please join me as I close in prayer. Lord God, you are faithful to us ever forgetful people. Lord, we thank you that you give us all we need to faithfully value all human life, to live by faith, to see the things through your eternal perspective, to in faith respond as witnesses to the world of your goodness, not as a stench to your holy name, but to in faith wait upon you with sure and certain hope that one day you will right all wrongs. You will bring justice to all and cease all sorrow, pain and loss for those in your family. And until the Lord comes, would you help us to seek and wait upon you, our ever-present refuge and strength, whose mercies are new every morning, whose promises are steadfast and sure. Lord God, our faithful Father in heaven, help us not to give in to temptation, to pursue or settle for short-term gain at the expense of our long-term eternity with you, but to instead remember that your faithfulness and let those truths both guard and guide our heart and mind so that our actions will be that of a beautiful aroma in glory and praise of who you are. The one true, holy Lord God Almighty, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.